It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
This show is all about our great listeners, but I'm one lucky guy because I get to interview so many incredible people, but for the benefit of the great listenership here on Mind Your Business, 710 WOR here every Sunday night in the New York, New Jersey metro area and throughout the world on the powerful iHeartRadio network. We've featured so many incredible guests on this program. Beth Comstock, former vice chair at GE. Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple. So many other incredible guests. Most of the past shows, certainly probably all the ones that were videoed, are up on our YouTube channel. And that's the most popular way of experiencing the great guests that we've had on this program. Our YouTube channel is 710 WOR Mind Your Business. On YouTube, 710 WOR Mind Your Business. And when you subscribe, you are automatically notified every single time a show goes live. Well, tonight's guest, Stephen Shapiro, a friend, I won't say an old friend, he's not old, a friend, an individual who lives and breathes innovation. He's written a number of books. Invisible Solutions is an incredible one. You can pick that up at bookstores nationwide and, of course, on Amazon. Invisible Solutions, 25 lenses that reframe and help solve difficult business problems. Now, as everyone knows here, I run Bottom Line Marketing Group, a marketing firm. We're always looking for innovation, right? Innovation is the key to success, to breaking through the mold, to being creative in order to be memorable, etc. So we said, you know, we need to get Stephen back on the show. It's been a couple of years since he was on. Stephen Shapiro, welcome back to Mind Your Business.
It is so good to be back. And yes, it has been quite some time. So it's good to see you.
Amazing. Now, among the takeaways from reading your material and having watched you and experienced you, and by the way, Stephen Shapiro, he's written a number of books. He also works with many Fortune 500 companies, and he is in the NSA Hall of Fame. That's the National Speakers Association. We had on recently Steve Rizzo. There's around 350 people out of like 50,000 people worldwide in the group. So to be in the Hall of Fame is a very big accolade and an award. And Stephen, mazel tov on that.
It's a big deal. Yeah, thank you.
Now, among the many takeaways is the importance, and I'd love to hold on to this, the importance of asking great questions. So let's say there's a business meeting that's going on and people are sitting around the table and, you know, they're brainstorming. They need to think of the next big idea, whether it's a new product, it's a new service, and they're brainstorming. How important is it to frame and to come in by asking questions in order to drive the conversation?
Well, I think it's actually probably one of the most important parts of the innovation process, because what ends up happening is when we're brainstorming, when we're asking people to give us their ideas, we tend to ask questions that are very broad. And if I gave you a blank sheet of paper and said, give me some of your best ideas, you're going to come up with a lot of ideas. The odds are, though, they're not going to really solve important problems. And so what we want to do is actually move the conversation in a particular direction. And the way we do that is by framing the question in a different way than we have in the past. Because we're so focused on solving a particular problem one way, we might miss other opportunities that are in our peripheral vision.
Okay, so you know what? I'm even going to take a step back, and that is, a typical brainstorming session, whether it's a marketing firm, whether it's a consumer products, packaged goods, whether it's a B2B company, B2C, what would be some an approach, a suggested approach? It could be from asking great questions to maybe time blocking it, if you recommend that, or if it should be open-ended. What would be your parameters for setting up a great brainstorming conversation in order to get results? And then, you know, not just to have people sitting around in a room and schmoozing and then coming out, why were we here? No. An effective brainstorming session. What would be the key pointers from Stephen Shapiro?
Well, I'll give you a couple of things. One is make sure you have the right people in the room. So what ends up happening is, let's say we're working on a marketing or sales problem. We tend to only bring people from marketing and sales into the room, but that's a mistake because they have a limited perspective. And so what we want to do is bring diverse points of view into the room. So even before you get into the session, make sure you have the right people, because if you have the wrong people, you're not going to get the best results. The second thing is, coming back to what we were talking about before, is make sure we're solving the right problem. I'll give you just a very simple example. If I had a group of people in front of me and I said, what are some of the ways we can attract new customers? Now, the immediate response is probably going to be something like doing some outbound marketing or social media or some kind of cold calling or whatever it might be. And we're going to generate lots of different ideas around getting new customers. But if I change the question from getting new customers to generating more revenue, well, let's face it, we could get more customers, but we could also generate more revenue by selling more to our existing customers, creating more value for our existing customers. So that one very simple reframe is going to change the direction of the conversation, because instead of more customers, we're now talking about a deeper relationship with our existing customers. And we can go a lot of different ways with this, but that is so important, is if you start off with the wrong question, no matter what answers you develop, they're not going to be the right ones if it's not the right question.
We're speaking with Stephen Shapiro, NSA Hall of Famer, author, and an innovation expert. And he coaches many Fortune 500 companies on how to think out of the box, how to innovate. Stephen, you shared something very interesting that I just want to hold, I want to hold on to for a second. If someone's having a brainstorming session, certainly you want people, like-minded people, one would think, around the table. But you had mentioned a couple of minutes ago that it actually pays to have an outside perspective, perhaps someone that hasn't even experienced that area of expertise that people are looking, in order to bring in a fresh perspective to the conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, look, if you're trying to solve a sales problem and you have 100 sales experts in the room, bringing the 101st sales expert into the room is not going to make any bit of difference. But if we start looking to other industries, other functions, other disciplines, it's the intersection of different areas of expertise and industries where the real breakthroughs come from. And when I look at some of the most interesting stories about companies that developed really cool solutions, it was rarely developed by experts inside the company. Wow. But rather, it was people asking two important words. Who else? Who else has solved a similar problem, but in a different area of expertise? I'll give you just a very quick example. Sure. Here. I was working with an insurance company, and one of the complaints from their customers was their claims process. It felt like every time somebody would file a claim, it was just going into a black hole, and they never knew when the adjuster was coming. So there's no transparency about the claims process. So they're trying to solve this problem. I had a group of insurance experts, claims experts, trying to solve this problem, getting some interesting ideas, and then they go off to order dinner. And the guy comes back and he says, I have the answer. He ordered from Domino's Pizza. And one of the things when you order from Domino's Pizza is, you know, when the pizza's in the oven, when it's out of the oven, when it's in the box, the name of your driver, their social security number, their ATM pin, you know pretty much everything that there is to know. ATM pin. And that's the solution that they use to create claims transparency, was to use what pizza delivery does. So this is just fascinating, those intersections, because if we had claims people trying to solve this problem, they would have come up with a completely different answer.
Coming back to questions, all right, you have a quote here in the book, in your Invisible Solutions book. The process for driving better results doesn't start with great ideas. It starts with better questions. I know we touched on it, but let's hold on to that. The importance, you know what, even let's for the benefit of all the salespeople out there, and of course, every company thrives and thrives and grows based on the based on their sales team. Question: walk us through the process. Explain what are some of the type of questions that a salesperson should have in mind when they go through their process of trying to close a deal.
So I think the first question when trying to close a deal is really trying to figure out what is it that they would use to define success? I mean, is it, because I see some salespeople, they're so focused on closing the deal, but they don't look at the long-term impact on the organization. So we talked about, you know, the reframe of going from more customers to more revenues, but maybe it's about profitability. And one of the things we need to really start looking at is, well, are we selling to customers who are high maintenance and take a lot of our energy, which then is bad for the organization? Maybe instead of more customers, we want fewer customers, but we want fewer, more profitable customers where we can go deeper. And that to me is really one of the big questions that I want organizations to think about is, instead of saying, how can we create transactions? How do we create relationships with customers where we can better and deeply understand their needs so that we can create more value for them? Because if we're creating more value for our customers, they're going to open up their wallets and do more business with us.
Another quote here from the book, and this is, it's not a new release. I understand you're working on a new release. I'm allowed to ask you publicly?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The book is hopefully coming out later this year.
Amazing. And what's the topic? What is it about?
So Invisible Solutions is a process for being able to solve pretty much any business problem. So that's what we're talking about right now. The new book, which is untitled at the moment, is determining which problems to solve. Mm. So we could solve a lot of problems, but if they're not important problems, if they're not differentiating problems, if they're not problems that are going to move the needle for the organization, then maybe we're not doing anything of value. So it's almost a prequel to Invisible Solutions, being able to determine where do we focus our energies? Where do we double down on our investments so that we can get the greatest results from what we do?
I'm going to quote here from Invisible Solutions. Again, the subtitle is 25 Lenses That Reframe and Help Solve Difficult Business Problems by Stephen M. Shapiro. Quote, changing just one word in a problem statement can reveal a completely new range of solutions. Can you please explain that?
I mean, there are just so many examples of this in action. I'll give you one.
Please.
One that isn't necessarily going to relate to sales, but it's just a very visual one. So work with NASA. When people go up into space, they have to get their clothes clean. And so they were solving the problem, how can we get clothes clean in space? And they came up with a whole bunch of different possible solutions for that. But then they changed one question, or one word, and they went from how can we get clothes clean to how can we keep clothes clean? That one word totally changes the types of solutions that you're going to develop. Another story which I love to tell is about baggage claim. I won't tell the whole story, but one of the things is how can we reduce wait time? Because people don't like to get to the baggage claim and sit around and twiddle their thumbs. But instead of reducing wait time, what if we improved the wait time? Well, now we're not going to look to other airports, but maybe we're going to look to Disney or Universal Studios. How can we create the greatest wait experience? So it's that one word that's going to completely unleash a different range of solutions. If I'm focusing solely on speed, I'm never going to think about experience. But they're different questions with different answers.
I know you remember it. I love that story. I'm sure you get that feedback from every single time when you speak. You said
speeding up the bags, we slow down the passengers. I'm glad you remember that story
of
so long ago.
Course.
That's awesome.
I'm sure every single time you say it, you get feedback on that story. Because
they do like it.
Yeah, because listen, we all fly. And you know what's great about it? Every single time someone flies and you have to wait, they're thinking, you know, that's Stephen Shapiro. He's right. We're going to go to a commercial break. But before we do, Stephen, how could people find out more about the services that you offer?
SteveShapiro.com is probably the easiest way to find me. And then from there, you'll find all the different products and services that I have.
Amazing. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
We're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR and around the world on the powerful iHeart Radio Network. Special thank you to the great team here at BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group, in particular, Sruli, Michal, Nachi, and the many others who participate on a regular basis in order to provide input and support, etc., in order to make this show come out so fantastic. Of course, a special thank you to Darren, Peter, and Robert at 710 WOR. Zeb Brenner, also special thank you for the shout-out before the show on your show that precedes me. We're here with Stephen Shapiro. Stephen M. Shapiro is a noted innovation expert. Tonight's show is all about innovation. And he's written books on it. He speaks on it. He's actually a consultant for many Fortune 500 companies. And we're lucky to have him here once again on Mind Your Business. He is an NSA Hall of Famer. So for those of you out there looking for an incredible speaker who speaks about out-of-the-box ideas and provides out-of-the-box solutions, Stephen Shapiro is definitely someone to check him out online, stephenshapiro.com. Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, right? That's how he spells it, Stephen Shapiro. Stephen, in your book, I'm going to focus now on invisible solutions. And later on, we got to get also to your games, right? You're also a magician and you actually created some games. But so that's pretty innovative. You have in here something very, very fascinating. Now, I don't know if we'll get to all 25, but this really is incredible. I want to hold on to this. You are in section 2 of your book, 25 lenses for reframing problems. And I just want to just still build this out. Here's a quote at the beginning of the chapter. Although reframing questions won't feel natural at first, when you use the problem formation lenses, it will become easier over time. It's like building a muscle. Can you explain that? And then pick and choose whichever of the 25 reframing lenses you wish to highlight.
Sure. So one of the things that happens is we make decisions. We ask questions based on our past experiences. And it gets very difficult for us to be able to see the world in a different way because we're so heavily influenced by our past. So what happens is we make assumptions. And those assumptions, if they're not questioned, are going to lead us down the path of basically solving a problem that is past-based rather than future-based. So the purpose of the 25 lenses is to challenge a number of different assumptions that we might have. So I'll give you a very simple one, one that I like to use a lot, which is the resequence lens. And the resequence lens is all around timing. And what typically happens is we make assumptions in the problems we're solving around when things need to occur. So during the pandemic, this one was a very, very powerful and important lens. And one of the things that happened was everybody assumed that because we couldn't meet in person, we always had to meet on Zoom. We had to meet on Teams. And so everybody was going online, doing lots and lots and lots of meetings. The assumption was, in terms of timing, that we all needed to be there at the same time. But one of the big breakthroughs, one of the big opportunities actually with the pandemic was to say, we don't always need to be together at the same time. What can we do asynchronously so that when we are together synchronously, when we're together on a Zoom call, we're actually spending time doing real conversation. So one of the things which I would encourage people to do in response to the sequencing is to figure out, well, what do you send people before an event? Maybe it's everybody records it. If you're doing a status meeting, why have somebody get up in front of the room and talk for 15 minutes about what they're up to while everybody is sitting there listening? Record that 15-minute video. Put it on your portal. Have people watch that before the meeting and then come to the meeting with questions so that when everybody's in the room together, you're now digging deep into what's meaningful rather than having a monologue. So the resequence lens is just so incredibly powerful. I use it all the time. That's just one of the 25.
So is it okay if I pick and choose some of the ones that I found fascinating?
Go for it. Yeah. I mean, some are more complicated than others to apply, but let's give it a try.
Okay. 3 and 4, which are cousins, reduce and eliminate. I found that fascinating because, fascinating is the right word, because when you're trying to solve a problem, you want to have everything on the table, but at the same time, if you load up the deck too heavy, it collapses by the weight of everything you brought to the table. So perhaps you could talk about applying reduce and eliminate, even though you're looking to build out a creative solution.
Yeah, this is such an important one, because we always seem to assume that adding more makes something better. But I actually believe that simplification is the best innovation. And there's a great quote. The author of The Little Prince said, I'm going to paraphrase, but he said that perfection is not achieved when there's no longer anything left to add, but when there is no longer anything left to remove. And so when I think about our solutions, is we're piling more and more and more on them. And sometimes the only way to get work done is to know what to kill, what to stop, what to eliminate, and how to simplify. Sometimes the best, most elegant solutions are the ones that don't have everything thrown in there, but rather they're elegant and simple. So again, whether it's you're designing a product, what can we eliminate? Do we need to add more features? Or how can we eliminate features like Apple does? You think about the remote control for the Apple TV. It's got like one button. You know, how simple can you get? And that's the beauty of their products, is it's not like a typical TV remote control, which has 100 buttons of which you don't know how to use any of them.
I'm going to now go to 7, result. What does this make possible? What is the desired outcome? This, for those involved in running a company, we know execution is key. So just how critical is it to make sure that, you know, not to lose focus and hey, there's got to be a desired outcome. There's got to be a goal. There's got to be a result for all this.
Well, what happens a lot of times, coming back to the questions we ask, is we often will ask questions that are actually solutions masquerading as questions. So we're going to implement a solution without even knowing what we're looking to achieve. Very simple example is some work we did in the UK with the education system there. And the original question was, how can we improve the education system? Now, that's a powerful question. It's an important question, but it's also an incredibly complex question. And you need to ask yourself, are we really trying to solve the education system problem, or are we trying to solve the child's learning problem, the ability of a child to learn and be productive in society? Maybe it's not about the education system. Maybe it's something completely different. And some of the solutions that we ended up developing when we moved away from the education system is we started looking at parental involvement, because that's one of the biggest factors associated with a child's learning. So if we're always trying to implement solutions, we're not stepping back and saying, what does this make possible? And if you ask yourselves, what did this make possible? Now you move to a higher level of problem and probably a more valuable type of problem.
14 is emotion. Now, this is a key question here, because people come into the room and we're all human. We all have biases and, you know, I'm not just saying bad, good, whatever, opinions, things we like, things we dislike. But at the same time, they may be beneficial, or sometimes they might hurt even an idea that's trying to move forward, because someone has a strong opinion either way. Can you elaborate on emotion, and even in general, in terms of brainstorming, what are some guidelines in order to make sure that things don't run off the rails if someone wants to emotionally hijack the idea?
Well, and that's why the reframing becomes really important, is because if you have the right question and the right problem and opportunity that you're working on, then it provides boundaries. And I know we love to talk about thinking outside the box, but the reality is, the bigger the box, the more noise we create, the more wiggle room we have for moving in the wrong direction. So my belief is, we don't want to think outside the box, we want to find a better box. And so the emotion lens is a different box. And the reason why it's a different box is because most of the time when we solve problems, we look at it from a very analytical lens. So maybe it's about employee retention, or maybe it's about our customers. And we might say, well, how do we keep our customers? If we're a retail store, how do we keep our customers? There's no emotion in that. It's a logical keeping customers. But what if we reframed it to something like, how do we have our customers feel like they're at home when they're in our store? Or how do we have our employees feel like we're a family that's working together? And again, those are just very simple ones, but you want to dig a little deeper. And some of the most profound solutions have been found when we move away from, okay, well, how do we get a 5 out of 5 on, you know, our customer evaluation satisfaction scores, to, you know, how do we make sure that every person in our organization feels valued, wanted, needed, and appreciated? That's a means towards maybe the 5 out of 5, but it has a lot more deep meaning to it. And it's just such an incredibly powerful way of reframing problems.
Number 19 is pain versus gain. What is the pain we need to solve? What might be lost if we don't solve this problem? Could you elaborate? It's a great one.
Yeah, there's just so many fascinating examples of this. And it's we just know that most of the time we're going to adopt a new technology if it solves a problem rather than it's a nice to have. So you're in New York City.
Right.
Very quick example goes back to 1978. It's a long time ago, but it still holds true. We saw the same exact thing in the pandemic. ATM machines, Citibank, spent a ton of money launching ATM machines. That was going to be their big strategy in 1977, 1978. But people didn't want an ATM machine. They wanted to talk to a teller. They wanted to go into the store. They didn't feel comfortable with the technology. And then, I mean, I lived in Boston. The February of 1978 was the blizzard. Boston had 4 feet of snow. New York had 2 feet of snow. Basically, the city was completely shut down. People couldn't go to the bank because there were no people working in the bank. So they go to the supermarkets to get cash, couldn't get cash there. They turned to the ATM machines. And for Citibank, this was a pivotal time, because the number of people who started using ATM machines because of that pain increased significantly. And it really was one of the catalysts for them being so successful in New York City. And we saw the same thing with the pandemic. Zoom and other technologies have been around for decades, but people didn't use it as much until the pain was there, and now we needed to use it. So we know that people are going to adopt an innovation when it solves a problem, and the bigger the problem, the more likely they are to want to adopt it. That's not necessarily always true. If you look at, like, right now, ChatGPT, it solves a problem, but it wasn't like we needed to have this disruption like a blizzard or a pandemic. You know, it was like, you know, just so like a million people, I think in 5 days is the number, if I remember correctly. It doesn't always have to be that way, but it's very common in many cases.
Stephen Shapiro is my guest. We're covering a lot of the points in his book, Invisible Solutions, 25 Lenses That Reframe and Help Solve Difficult Business Problems. It's available in bookstores worldwide and, of course, on Amazon. Stephen is an NSA Hall of Famer. He speaks at corporate events around the world. He is also a consultant for many Fortune 500 companies. Stephen, how could people find out more information and to get in touch with you?
Easiest way is just to go to steveshapiro.com. I spell it Steve because there's only one way to spell Steve, but there's two ways to spell Steve.
That's great. Steve, S-T-E-V-E, steveshapiro.com. Right. Like this, they'll get it right. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times of the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24-6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll-free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com. where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yusuf Saflis right here on 710 WOR. What an incredible guest this week, Stephen M. Shapiro, noted innovation expert, Fortune 500 consultant. And he's written a number of books, and one of them is Invisible Solutions, 25 Lenses That Reframe and Help Solve Difficult Business Problems. And we're talking about the world of innovation. But before we get to my next question, just a little fun here. My understanding is you're also a magician, and you actually created a game. Can you discuss that?
Sure. I actually call myself more of a wannabe magician.
Okay.
I don't perform a lot, but I love magic. So we're talking about innovation here. And let's face it, one of the challenges we have as innovators is solving complex problems. And there's a quote from Walt Disney that I like. He said, "It's kind of fun to do the impossible." And what I love about magic is that's what they do. They cut someone in half and they don't die. They make someone disappear. They read someone's mind, whatever it is. And so that's what I love about magic is the thought process, the mindset associated with trying to not just solve a difficult problem, but solving an impossible problem. And so I try to, anytime I'm working on something, ask myself, well, what if this were impossible? What would it look like? How would I solve it differently? I have a huge collection of magic tricks that I buy, not to perform, but to sort of understand, get in the head of the way the people create these, because some of it is brilliant and it helps us understand the mind and the brain and the way it works. So it's just so powerful.
Let's talk about how does someone go about to acquire an innovative mindset, meaning they run through their regular rote, their regular schedule day in and day out, but and like you said earlier, not necessarily to think outside the box, put them in a different box, but how do they develop? What are some techniques? Maybe that's the right word, techniques that you would recommend for someone to develop an innovative mindset?
I think the first thing is to recognize that we all contribute to innovation, but we sometimes do it in a different way. So we're all sort of wired a little differently in how we think. Some of us are very analytical and we're very data oriented. So we might, when it comes to innovation, we might not be the person that's going to come up with a really cool, wacky idea, but we're going to have the data, the facts, the statistics, the information to know that this is a real problem that if we solved it is going to have great value. That's still innovation. It's just a different part of the innovation process. So one of the things that you first need to do is understand we all contribute in different ways. And what we want to do is figure out what is our own personal innovation style. What's our innovation personality and how do we do that? That would be the first thing. Once we do that, we need to also recognize that some of the things we've been taught about innovation actually lead us in the wrong direction. So one of the big jokes is never say yeah, but. You always want to say yes, and. That's like everybody saying that. But here's the problem is yeah, but is not the enemy of innovation. It's the wow, this is a great idea. Now, it might seem counterintuitive, but the problem is once you start loving your ideas, something called confirmation bias kicks in. And now all of a sudden, even if we get information about our innovation that tells us it's actually bad, the brain is going to filter that out and only focus on the good aspects. It's only going to focus on the parts of the solution that we think supports our belief that this is a great idea. And so what ends up happening is we invest in innovation, we fail, which we don't want to do, because we didn't really validate our hypotheses. There's a great quote from Scott Cook. He's the one who founded Intuit. And he said, for every one of our failures, we had spreadsheets that looked awesome. And I love that quote because we can validate and justify however we want. But until we test it, until we actually go into the real world and experiment, we're never going to know if these are great ideas. So those are just a couple of things that I find really important. Couple that with asking better questions, more important questions, then you have a good recipe for being having an innovative mindset.
Now, not that we want to go negative, but we do need to know kind of the red flags for innovation. What are some enemies, pitfalls, or things we should be looking at when someone's innovating, but like some of those things that like, okay, be mindful of this, but don't let it derail you.
Right. I would say one of the big ones is I believe that expertise is actually the enemy of some types of innovation, not all innovation. And we need to have experience. But what ends up happening is, and we talked about this earlier, is my past experiences are going to limit my ability to see new and different potential futures. And so if we're aware of that, then what we can say is maybe the way I see the world is partly right, but what am I missing? And then it comes back to that, who else? So we were talking about the lenses earlier. Lens number 6 is the analogy lens. I love that one. Basically, it says, ask yourself who else has solved a similar problem just in a different area of expertise. So you take your own past experience and you blend it with the experience of others who might be outside your department, outside your function, outside your company, and ideally even outside your industry. Now you've got a really powerful perspective on how to bring something new to the table.
Stephen, you bring to mind something incredible. I got to share this. It's like incredible. I have a book over here I got many years ago, How to Become CEO. Okay? How to Become CEO. He has a story like that. He writes in here, one of his chapters is, do not get discouraged by the idea killers. He has a quick story in here. I got to read this. During the oil embargoes of the 1970s and the subsequent pressure to increase the miles per gallon efficiencies of cars, remember those cars used to get what, like 5 miles to the gallon back in the 70s? Okay. One of the major automakers told its senior engineers to drastically reduce the weight of the cars. The senior engineers, imprisoned in their old ways, said making lighter cars could not be done, was too expensive, and presented safety problems. So the car company hired lots of young, inexperienced engineers. The new engineers took hundreds of pounds of unnecessary weight off of their cars. They just didn't know any better.
There you go. They didn't know any better. Those are just beautiful words. And here's actually the fascinating things coming back to something we talked about before. At that time, so you would think like during economic time, so you're talking about the oil embargo, but we had the same challenges back in 2008 when gas prices were like four. I mean, they're back up, but at the time they were like super high. And you would think when the gas prices are $4 a gallon or more, people would be going for either inexpensive cars or fuel efficient cars. Actually, the two best selling cars were like the Silverado and the F-150 or something.
All right, and the
like
Hummer.
Expensive.
Right.
Yeah, because they had purpose. So if everything's expensive, I don't want to just use it as a vehicle to drive in, but I want it as a vehicle that can move things. I can actually make money from my car. So it's sometimes paradoxical. We think everybody's going to go for a less expensive fuel efficient car, when in fact the gas guzzlers that got 15 miles a gallon were the biggest sellers during that time. So there's just so many interesting facets to this.
But yeah, holding on to that, the way you it triggered my mind about that story. I mean, listen, we can't throw experience to the wind naturally.
Right.
I mean, even though that story is like, whoa, people love to hear that story because they just didn't know any better and they solved it. That's not necessarily always the case. Perhaps are there any types of guidelines that you would say, and obviously every circumstance is unique, obviously, but maybe some type of guidelines to if you're having a brainstorming session, et cetera, the experience versus the inexperience. Experience, of course, coming in with a lot of knowledge, but preconceived notions and set in their ways attitude. Yet the inexperience comes in with a fresh, they could see anything, but they will obviously make some suggestions that make no sense also.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. So this is really when it comes back to, I think, your original question on brainstorming. This is so, so, so important. If you think about most brainstorming sessions, what ends up happening is somebody's at the front of the room, they have a flip chart, and they've got their markers, and they say, okay, what's an idea? And people shout out an idea. And then somebody else shouts out an idea. And the problem is, once the first person shouts out an idea, it influences every other person in the room. So what's happened is we've almost immediately from the very start shut down the range of possible ideas that we're going to generate. Plus we're single threading. I can only take one idea at a time. So it's really critical. Let's say you had 20 people in a room and they were at five tables of four. I would have each person individually write down, again, you start with a well-framed problem. So maybe it was, how can we reduce the weight in the cars? And then have each person write down their responses to that question individually without talking to anyone else. Then once they're done with that, they turn to one other person at their table and they go back and forth and share and try to find what are some common grounds, what are some things that make sense. Then they share it at the table and the table shares it with the room. And now we've got the widest range of possible solutions, but we've been vetting the solutions as we went through that process. It's a great way of balancing, but it's also really, really important from a personality perspective. So even though I'm on stages, I'm actually a really introverted and shy person. So when we're in brainstorming sessions, even if I have an idea, I tend not to speak up for a whole variety of reasons. So this process I just talked about allows every person to have an equal voice. It's not like the head of the department, they say something and everybody's like, oh, I'm not going to say anything because it's going to sound stupid and the boss is here. No, if every person has an equal voice and they're only sharing it with a smaller group and then they sort of get meshed together, that's a really powerful way to do it.
We're speaking with Stephen Shapiro. You could find out more information about Steve by going by visiting steveshapiro.com, steveshapiro.com. He is a noted author and consultant for many Fortune 500 companies on the topic of innovation. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Powerful people, famous names, impactful content.
I always challenge people, what car are you driving? What computer are you using? What shoes are you wearing?
Right.
There is a segment that doesn't matter, but most other segments,
right,
they are brand consumers. They have an affinity. I'm on the board of Nike. People are passionate about the Nike brand.
That was Beth Comstock, former vice chair of GE. Follow on Instagram at Business Class Clips for more.
Welcome back to Mind Your Business with the Six Afters right here on 710 WOR. And my guest this evening, Stephen Shapiro, noted NSA Hall of Fame speaker and consultant for many Fortune 500 companies on the topic of innovation. Tonight's show is all about innovation. In case you tuned in late, no worries. Used to be by Tuesday morning, but with Michal taking care of it, it happens by Monday morning. I don't know if she does it, but just like a magic wand, she just gets it done. Thank you, Michal. By Monday morning, the podcast is up every single week. And the YouTube episode is usually up within 2 weeks. If you want to be automatically notified, just subscribe on our channel, 710WOR Mind Your Business, on YouTube, 710WOR Mind Your Business, and you'll automatically be notified when Stephen Shapiro's episode here on Mind Your Business goes live. Well, Stephen Shapiro, what's great about speaking with you is that I could just ask anything in the world of innovation. And let's face it, we all need to have an innovation mindset. Now, we have only around 7 minutes left to the show. And chapter 11 of your book, Innovation Invisible Solutions. I'm sure people trip up that all the time.
They do.
Invisible Solutions, 25 lenses that reframe and help solve difficult business problems. It's called fast innovation. And I love the way you frame fast, focus, ask, shift, and test. Can you please talk about fast innovation?
Sure. And since we've got maybe 6 minutes left,
that's right,
speed is important. So I think the key with all of this, just philosophically, is we need to accelerate the way we innovate. So that's the philosophy here, is we need to be faster at what we do. And as you pointed out, FAST stands for Focus, Ask, Shift, Test. And these are four steps of the innovation process. Focus means innovate where you differentiate. Find what's most important to your organization and make your deepest and biggest investments there. Once we know where we need to innovate, now we need to identify the problems. Everything we've been talking around is the A, the ask. Ask better questions. Reframe the problems as a way of finding different potential solutions. The S is shift, which basically comes back to something we talked about before, which is expertise is the enemy of innovation. And therefore, what we need to do is shift our mindset if we're going to find solutions. Ask who else has solved this problem in a different area of expertise. And the last step is the T, which is about testing. Instead of failing, we want to experiment. And we want to be able to build small, scalable experiments that we can test over time and that we can ensure that we're getting the greatest value for the least amount of investment. So that's fast innovation. It's a really, even though it's sort of laid out as 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, it really is an iterative process where we're going back and forth through all of these on an ongoing basis.
Now, here's a tricky question, because let's face it, at the end of the day, the circumstances of any particular situations always have to be analyzed. But in a general way, if a company is going down, is innovating, but it's not working out well, are there some type of parameters that you could recommend for when a company is going through an innovation process, what to look for to identify that they should still hold on, and when they should, as quote unquote, fail fast? They should just say, okay, you know what? I put in the right resources. I didn't throw in the towel too early, but it was time to abandon ship.
Yeah, and it's so important. Knowing what to kill is actually a critical part of the innovation process, because if we spend time on ideas and innovations that don't provide value, they're just diverting us from what we could be doing. So I'll give you two things that I always find important. It's sort of the bookends of the fast innovation process. The first one is, if we're working on something and we're not getting results, first of all, make sure, is it important enough? Is it differentiating? Is it something which is really going to move the needle for the organization? Or is it something we just became enamored with and it became a pet project of the organization? So sometimes we get just, like we said, we fall in love with our solutions. That's not really going to help us move the needle. We need to make sure this is important. The second thing is to make sure that when we're testing our ideas, we're testing against the right question. And so what we need to do is make sure that, okay, we're implementing this solution, but is it solving the right problem? Is there a different problem we could be solving? Or is there a different way to look at it so that we could be finding a different solution? Sometimes what we are doing in innovation isn't wrong, but we're just looking at it from the wrong angle. And if we can just shift our perspective a little bit, now we're going to see, this was actually a worthwhile endeavor. We've just been looking at it the wrong way from the beginning.
Stephen, we're approaching the close, but people love stories. You shared one about NASA. Perhaps you could share 1, 2, maybe 3 stories about a company that took on an innovation process or was challenged with something and applying the filters that you have discussed and that you write about, that came with a dream outcome that they never thought of initially.
I'm going to give you a story that we talked about earlier.
Okay.
And this is just an illustrative story, because we only told half the story.
Okay.
But I think it's probably the best example of the power of reframing. And it's an airport here in the U.S. who decided that they wanted to deal with the issue, which was one of the biggest complaints of their passengers, which was baggage claim took too long. So they did some analysis, and they found that it took on average 15 to 20 minutes for bags to get from the plane to the baggage carousel. They decided to solve the problem, how can we speed up the bags? And they spent a ton of money on faster conveyor belts, more baggage handlers, newer technology, and they got it from 15 to 20 minutes down to 8 to 10 minutes. Now, coming back to something you just said, maybe this would have been declared success. But they went back to the passengers and said, how did we do? Did we solve the problem? And they're like, no, it still takes too long. So they realized they couldn't speed up the bags anymore. And then they had an epiphany. It took the bags 8 to 10 minutes to get from the plane to the baggage carousel, but it only took the passengers 1 to 3 minutes to get from the plane to the baggage carousel. So instead of speeding up the bags, they slowed down the passengers and they reconfigured the airport. And it really just comes down to the question. If we spend all of our time trying to speed up bags, we're not going to think to slow down the passengers. If we spend all of our time trying to get clothes clean, we might not think to keep them clean. If we're trying to reduce the wait time, we might not think to improve the wait experience. These shifts in the question are the key to unleashing new opportunities that we might have otherwise missed. And I just think it's probably the most important work that we can do as innovators is to make sure we're really asking the right question the right way to the right people.
What an incredible show. Steve, before we let you go, how could people find out more information about the array of services in the world of innovation?
Best place is steveshapiro.com.
Pretty straightforward. This wraps up an incredible edition of Mind Your Business. Again, the podcast will be up by Monday, and the YouTube will be up in short order. If you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you are automatically notified every single time a show goes live. And when this show tonight with Steve Shapiro goes live, you will be notified. On YouTube, we're at 710-WOR Mind Your Business. 710-WOR Mind Your Business. This wraps up an incredible edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.